Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So I stared at Speak and Conceal. Speak would be really bad. There's an election in 11 days. Lordy, that would be really bad. Concealing, in my view, would be catastrophic.
I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. And the evidence for that intervening event is, I think, compelling, persuasive.
A little bit of audio history there as we continue with more on the firing of James Comey, and we will add some deeper historical perspective as well as commentary from former New York City Congresswoman and Brooklyn DA Elizabeth Holtzman. Among many other things, she was on the House Judiciary Committee and was very involved. She was a player in the investigation of President Richard Nixon in the House for Watergate. Ms. Holtzman, always good of you to come on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. And one part of my bio you didn't include was that I was the author of the special prosecutor legislation that was the direct result of what happened in Watergate and was designed to avoid a situation in which the president could control the people who investigated him.
And that special prosecutor legislation was allowed to expire, if I've got my history right, in 1999.
Correct.
After Reagan didn't like the way it was used in Iran-Contra and Clinton didn't like the way it was used in Whitewater, both parties felt that the special prosecutor under that law had just too much leeway to do too many things. How do you look back on that?
I think the law was correct. It could have been improved. I think what happened with Kenneth Starr was really unfortunate. He was a political choice. What we did was we put the selection of the court, of the special prosecutor, in the hands of the court. We didn't realize, I fault myself here, it was a little naive, that the court itself could be political because the court picked Kenneth Starr. If you had a different selection process and the person weren't political and you reined it in terms of time, then I think you'd have this a law that would really work in this situation, because now we're in a situation where it's not clear that we can have a truly independent investigation of whether the president colluded with the Russians. In other words, it's almost a treasonous act, could be a treasonous act, and yet he is going to be able to select, in the end, his own investigator. This is outrageous. It's not just. It's what happens in a banana republic, and so it leaves us in a very bad situation now.
Listeners, if you have any questions. I just want to invite listeners to call and talk to you. If you have any questions
Sure.
for Elizabeth Holtzman, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So if we assume, and maybe it'll depend on who gets named, but if we assume even under, you know, that under a new FBI director, the FBI will be compromised in terms of its ability to independently investigate Russia and the Trump campaign. There is still, after the special prosecutor law expired, something called a special counsel that could be appointed. Do you think that's a key to independent investigation?
Well, that's a concern, too. First of all, there's no requirement that a special counsel be appointed. That's number one. Number two, who is the special counsel, and what are his or her qualifications going to be, and how truly independent is that person going to be, and can that person still be fired? I think it's not the same level of independence that we created in the special prosecutor law, and we did that deliberately because we had seen the Saturday night massacre. We had seen President Nixon trying to control the criminal investigation against him, and we never wanted that to happen. We always wanted to assure the American people that any sort of investigation like that against the president of the United States could not be controlled by the president and would have to be completely independent.
Would you remind people what happened in the Saturday night massacre?
Saturday Night Massacre, the special, there was an independent prosecutor appointed by the Attorney General under the existing laws. Attorney Generals, I think, for a long time had the power to appoint an independent prosecutor, but a special prosecutor. But the special prosecutor decided, Archibald Cox, decided that he wanted to get the White House tapes that Richard Nixon made, because they would prove whether Nixon was telling the truth that he didn't order the cover-up. And we would have Nixon's own words. But the president said to Cox, if you go after this, in essence, I'm going to fire you. And he did that. And what happened was that the attorney general would have to do the firing, and he refused to do that. He resigned. The deputy attorney general refused to fire the special prosecutor, and he resigned. And it was only the solicitor general, number three in line, who fired the special prosecutor. At that point, the American people rose up and said, we're not a banana republic. The president can't pick the prosecutor against him, and called on Congress to begin impeachment proceedings, and that triggered the impeachment of Richard Nixon.
Looking back, do you think that Richard Nixon did not expect the extent of the blowback that firing the special prosecutor drew and helped lead to his resignation?
I don't know what he expected. I guess he thought he didn't have any choice because, in fact, the tapes incriminated him, as we believed they would, as the special prosecutor wanted to find out whether they would. So it didn't really, in the end, matter what he thought. The point is that because of the national outcry, Nixon had to appoint a replacement special prosecutor, and that person completed the job, and the Supreme Court ruled that the tapes had to be released.
Now, presumably, they are nowhere near that close to finding anything nearly that incriminating about Trump, at least as far as we know. How would you compare this to that?
Well, we don't know what they're close to getting. I mean, they're meaning the FBI. Maybe they're very close to getting incriminating information. The problem is that we don't know why Trump fired Comey, head
FBI
of the
director.
FBI. Right. We don't know whether this was just personal pique or whether this was just or because he wanted to stop an investigation. So that's the difference here. And if we knew that, then I think if we knew for sure what Trump's motives were here, then I think there'd be a huge, much more enormous outcry, as there should be. And any whether we know for sure or not, the fact remains that there's the implication and certainly the possibility that Comey was fired as an obstruction of justice to stop an investigation. That is potentially a criminal act as well as an abuse of power by the President of the United States. These are not only potentially criminal, but potentially impeachable offenses.
Is there a way to determine whether it was an obstruction of justice?
Well, you'd have to investigate a little bit more. The acts around which the conversations that Trump had, the other acts that were involved in connection with the firing of Comey, whom he spoke with, what he said to them, and so forth. And it'd be a very difficult investigation because you can be sure he would fight it tooth and nail. They'd fight it in court. They'd claim executive privilege. They'd do this and that. But it could be found out, assuming everybody would tell the truth.
What do you make of the fact that he's got this Obama appointee, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, to hang it on, and that Rosenstein wrote this letter recommending the firing of Comey that's all about how Comey handled the Clinton investigation and nothing about Russia?
Well, I think it's I have two concerns. I have one concern is that Jeff Sessions interposed himself in this at all. He told the American people and the Congress that he was recusing himself from anything to do with the Russia investigation. You have to be blind, deaf, and dumb, and I don't think he's any of those things, maybe the latter, to have some suspicion that those matters could be involved. Sessions should have had nothing to do with this. I don't know what the Deputy Attorney General was thinking here. But I think it's not a good sign. I think also the fact that he relied on published statements that had nothing to do with whether Comey should be fired. These are published statements of former attorneys general or deputy attorney generals. I think that's irrelevant. I think also the fact that Jamie Gorelick was cited. She is representing Jared Kushner. Totally inappropriate to use her to support anything in connection with Trump. So I'm very disturbed about the Deputy Attorney General's actions here. And I think also the fact, too, let's go back to the point about the FBI director. The reform, after Hoover was FBI director forever, and given the many abuses of his position, Congress wanted to rein that in and prevent that from happening again. But they also wanted to make sure that the FBI director had some independence from the president. That's why they created a 10-year term. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, that could go through two presidents. I mean, there was some method to this madness. It was to create an independent FBI directorship because it's critical in a democracy that the investigative forces are not controlled politically. And unfortunately, we now see that that ideal undermined in a very dramatic and very disturbing way, because in the absence of the special prosecutor law and a court-appointed special prosecutor, it's not clear that we are going to get, number one, a special prosecutor appointed, and two, an independent special prosecutor. You see, the other thing that's really important about that law is that it would, in this kind of a situation, it would have required the appointment of a special prosecutor. Now we're relying on whatever the Deputy Attorney General mm-hmm. wants to do. And if he wants to keep his job, maybe he doesn't want to appoint a special prosecutor.
Dana in Long Island City. You're on WNYC with Elizabeth Holtzman. Hello, Dana.
Yes, Ms. Holtzman, and I have to ask a very pertinent question. Mr. Comey was fired while he was in California, away from the data, which would show, disprove, or prove any collusion. All that data is now in the hands of what I can only call unfriendly hands. I'm sure Comey did not make a copy due to the debacle with poor, you know, Clinton. But guess what? Where is the data? What is the evidence, and where is it, and who has it?
Well, all the data would be in the hands of the FBI, and that's, you know, presumably we have a very professional FBI force. Of course, not everybody is 100% professional in any operation. We know that. And the deputy director of the FBI is now in charge. But I'm not sure that I worry at this moment what's going to happen to the evidence, although it's true if Comey knew this were coming, he could have put into place some specific directions to protect whatever evidence they had acquired. But beyond that, we know in Watergate that when the FBI director was a pal of Nixon's, he deep-sixed documents that he was given. So I think your concern is absolutely pertinent, apropos, and that's why we need to have a special prosecutor appointed here. And the sooner the better.
And I think it's worth noting the way that Comey learned about his firing. If the media reports I've been seeing are true, he was meeting with FBI staffers in Los Angeles, and they literally saw it on television, and that's how he learned about it. He thought it was a joke at first, it's been reported. And then he found out that it was real. They didn't even give him the courtesy of calling him in and telling him directly.
Yeah, it sounds like there was a lot of anger that Mr. Trump had against Mr. Comey. And you know, what is the anger? The anger is that Comey was saying repeatedly in the last weeks and months that he was continuing to investigate Trump and Trump's campaign and their relationship to the Russians and whether there was collusion or not. I mean, Comey made that crystal clear before the Congress that that's what he was doing. And the idea that that Comey's actions in connection with Clinton 7 or 8 months ago is what triggered this. It just, you know, ridiculous. It's ludicrous.
Craig in Morganville. You're on WNYC with Elizabeth Holtzman. Hi, Craig.
Hi, guys. I think everyone here is missing the big picture. I think that what's going on here is just a smokescreen that Russia has found a way to bring us down. We're having an investigation on top of an investigation that it's just going to go in a big circle of nothing, okay? The only thing maybe with this guy Michael Flynn, get rid of him, he took money. Okay, if the Russians were guilty, so what? What are we going to do? We're going to prosecute Russia? The only thing we should be doing is making sure and take countermeasures to make sure it doesn't happen again. And now the Democrats can not try and work with the Republicans to fix things that are going wrong with this country. The Republicans can now say, oh, the Democrats have done this to make us investigate, so now we can't get anything done. The politicians have found something so that they don't have to fix the problems and not be accountable. This is a distraction so that the country cannot get fixed.
Why couldn't all of this go on at the same time? Investigate whether there was collusion with the Russians, investigate the Russians, and deal with the policy issues.
Okay, and what if the Russians are found guilty? Are we gonna bring Putin into court? For what?
No, but
you know,
what we
elections
do?
And governments we've toppled ourselves?
Yeah.
All the Russians did was do the WikiLeaks.
Well, that's a good question.
No, we don't know that.
Go ahead.
We don't know that. I think the real question, sir, and I think you've raised a good question, so what about the Russians is really what you're saying. That it's not really so what, because the fact of the matter is
no, I think he's saying so what about Trump. I think he thinks the Russia thing is important.
Right. The Russia thing is important only to prevent it in the future. But we need to know whether we had a president of the United States colluding with the Russians, because if he's still president, then he can endanger our democracy. Don't forget that. That is a critical fact here, sadly. It's sad to come to this point. But if the president was in collusion, we have no real evidence that that actually happened, but that's what the investigation is about. If that happened, then he's a continuing danger to this country. That, and he can be prosecuted, and he can be impeached.
Craig, thank you. Keep calling us. Louise in North Brunswick. You're on WNYC with Elizabeth Holtzman. Hi, Louise.
Hi, thank you. And it's an honor to be speaking to you, Ms. Holtzman.
Thank you very much.
My concern is that Trump's actions weren't aimed at all Americans. It was only aimed at his believers, who loved his authoritarianism. This was sold as him being a decisive leader who is going to be ending a pointless partisan Russia investigation. And the GOP Congress is elected by districts full of voters that love his authoritarianism. How do we change the conversation so that we reinforce the idea that it's the balance of and separation of powers from our Constitution and our laws that protect that make America great, not having a strong man act on his own?
Well, I think you raised a good point, and I think that it's really important, and given the prior phone call, for everyone to make very clear here that the investigation that Comey was conducting into collusion with the Russians was not a partisan investigation. It was an investigation that actually, I think almost everybody in Congress said, was a legitimate investigation to find out whether there was collusion. Trump kept saying, and it was almost a kind of interference, that this was a witch hunt, it was nonsense, and all that stuff. He was criticizing the investigation. But I think the most important thing is to reassure the American people that that investigation was not on a partisan basis, and it was not uncovered by Democrats. It was uncovered by wiretaps and uncovered by overhears. It was not a political, it had no political origins. And so that has to continue to be conducted in a nonpartisan way, because if we have someone in the White House who colluded with the Russians, that's a danger to our democracy. The other point you've raised about how we get people, some Americans who believe in a strong man kind of government, a tyrant, a dictator, well, there's not much you can do about that except to give examples of how democracy really works. I mean, even when Richard Nixon resigned, he had about 25% of the American people supporting him. Abraham Lincoln said you can't convince all the people all the time. You can't fool all the people all the time.
Right, but there are things people can do, and honestly, this is one of the most frequent questions we've been getting all morning, is by people whose heads are exploding from this and are worried about taking a step down the road of authoritarianism. What can we do? And I guess it's the things that have been going on since Trump was elected. It's protests in the streets, if that's necessary. It's town hall meetings. It's contacting members of Congress. What else would you add?
Well, right now, the most important thing, it seems to me, is to contact members of the House and the Senate to make sure that the investigations continue unabated, and that the FBI investigation continues, that the House and Senate investigations continue, that a special prosecutor be appointed. Letters ought to be sent to the Deputy Attorney General urging him to appoint a special prosecutor here with full independence. And in addition, I think everybody who's concerned about this has to be thinking about the 2018 elections, and trying to get more of a balance in the House of Representatives so that people will really start looking at the facts in a nonpartisan way. I mean, I think in the end, to this caller's point, during the impeachment of Richard Nixon, I know this goes way before most people's memory, the process was a fair process, and in the end, all the members of the House Judiciary Committee, including all the Southern Democrats and all the conservative Republicans and the moderate Republicans, supported impeachment. Why did that happen? Because the process was fair, because the facts were there, and the facts overwhelmingly proved criminality and abuse of power. So I don't think we should despair of the fact that Congress can be persuaded to do the right thing. That happened during the Nixon impeachment process. Maybe it can happen again if the facts are there and if the abuses of power have taken place.
Former Congressman, former Brooklyn DA, designer of the special prosecutor law, Elizabeth Holtzman, thank you so much for giving us this time.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.